feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. In our study through 2 Samuel, we are coming across an array of diverse characters. Our main character is David. He is a man who has many flaws, but overriding all of this is his passion for the Lord. In our current study in chapter 3, we also see two opposing generals, Abner and Joab. They are both a bit peculiar, somewhat loyal, but not always, wise, but impulsive, servants, but selfish. As we join the study today, Abner has just defected from Ishbosheth to David, but this doesn't set real well with Joab, as we shall see. Let's now join John as we look at these two guys and learn important lessons from their lives.
So here's Joab now. Hey, Abner, can I talk with you? Abner thinks, cool, we're on the same side, we're on the same team. Well, let's step outside the gate of Hebron here, shall we? Let's talk quietly, privately. Okay, Abner says. And they step outside of the gate, right outside of the city of Hebron, where Abner was. And when they get outside of the gate, Joab smote him under the fifth rib, and there he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab says, this is for my brother. Boom. And under the fifth rib, Joab smites Abner. Just like Abner smote Asahel, so now Joab smites Abner, and Abner dies in the same way that he killed Joab's brother. Afterward, when David heard it, verse 28, he said, oh, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner. This isn't my fault that Abner was killed. I didn't order this. I didn't desire that. I wouldn't do this. So, verse 29, let it rest upon the head of Joab, this guilt, and on all his father's house, let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue. That means a running sore, or is a leper, or who is crippled and leans on a staff, or falls on the sword, or lacks bread and starves to death. David's not real happy. He says, may Joab's family, Joab, and all that descend from him be cursed perpetually. Lepers and cripples and starving to death and dying by the sword in battle. May what Joab has done come crashing down on his head and his family too. David curses him. David's not really happy with Joab. He's upset. He's ticked off. He's very mad at Joab. How could you do this? You murdered Abner. Abner switched sides and joined me. We negotiated in good faith, and then you tricked him to step outside of the gate, and you killed him. And because of this, may your family, Joab, be cursed perpetually. Wow. I point this out because we'll see in the next chapter that Joab becomes David's general. David said, whoever can find a way into Jerusalem is going to be my general. And Joab found a way going up through the water shaft and into the city. And I point that out simply to remind you once again that God isn't looking for or demanding perfection from his servants, from me or from you, but rather would say, I'll use flawed people. I'll use odd people. I want that city. I want to touch those people. I want to reach out to that group. And the first one that does, even if like Joab, there's a curse on him, failures that are attached to him. Hey, I will use, the Son of David says, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, anyone who makes themselves available and is willing to find a way in. So Joab, hey, David is mad at Joab, and yet Joab will be David's main man all the way through David's 40-year reign as king of the nation. So Joab, verse 30, and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because Abner had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. David then said to Joab, to all the people that were with him, tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn for Abner. And King David himself followed the bier, the casket. So David orders the men to rip their clothes and to mourn over the death of Abner. And David walks behind the coffin in this funeral procession. They buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king, verse 33, lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over Abner. You died as a fool. It's not right what happened to you. You weren't taken away as a captive in battle. You didn't deserve to go down like you did. You weren't imprisoned because of some wrong that you had committed. You died as a fool. Why did David say, why did you die as a fool? Listen, because if you can think back to our Old Testament studies some months ago, back in Joshua, the city of Hebron, where this act took place, where Joab killed Abner, Hebron was a city of refuge. Joshua chapter 20, verse 7, identifies Hebron as a city of refuge. Now, when a man killed another man, if it wasn't intentional, which in the case of Abner's killing Asahel, it wasn't intentional. Remember, he said, go fight somebody else. I don't want to kill you. I don't want to hurt you. And he even poked him with the blunt end of the spear. When a man killed somebody unintentionally, the relatives of the dead man would chase the man that killed the fella and kill him. That's just the way it was in the Middle East and is still to this day. The avenger of blood was required, you see, a family to raise up an avenger to go after the person that killed your brother, your sister, your father, your mother. But there were these six cities that were established as cities of refuge, Numbers chapter 35. And God declared, in the case of death like that, go into a city of refuge, one of these six cities, and stay there. And the avenger of blood cannot hurt you, touch you, avenge, you see, the death that took place. You are safe. Kind of like when you play hide and go seek, you know, there's home base or ollie ollie oxen free or whatever it is. You're free in that place. Well, Joab knew this. Abner was in Hebron, a city of refuge, and that's why he said, hey, Abner, can I talk to you? Let's step outside the gate. See, come outside the gate with me. I want to have a private word with you. And Abner said, okay, sure. And he stepped outside the gate. If you stepped outside of the gate of the city, you were no longer protected. And the avenger of blood could kill you. Even if you didn't mean to kill the other person in the first place, You could be slain by a member of that person's family if you stepped out of the city of refuge. You had to stay in the city until, does anyone recall? Until the high priest died. When the high priest died, then you were set free. But you had to stay in the city until the death of the high priest. All kinds of meaning in that. But be that as it may, the thing is here, Abner did something very dumb, and that's why David's so sad. Oh, Abner. Abner, you died foolishly. You were seduced. You were tricked. You were lured out of the city. See, Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. And I want to tell you, stay close to the Lord. Keep believing in him. Stay close to him. Don't be lured away from him. Because if I am, if you are, if we choose to leave our Lord, man, we lose the safety. We lose the security. We lose the satisfaction and the protection that he offers to you and me. It's a dangerous thing to say, oh, well, I'll just step out of the city for just a bit and hear what this guy has to say or what those people want to tell me or go with them on their excursion, whatever it might be. Don't do it. Beware. Because you'll die as a fool. And that's what happened to Abner. And David's so sad about this because Abner was a great warrior. He was a real leader. He was a wise man. He was loyal to a fault in the sense of staying with Saul too long. Once Saul died, Abner knew, as we talked about earlier, what really he ought to do. He was reluctant to initially. He stayed with Saul's family, Ishbosheth, out of loyalty. But he realized at a certain point, this is crazy. And he switched sides and went with David, a right thing, a wise thing, a good thing. And now David is so upset. How could this be? And he's weeping. He's lamenting. And all the people, verse 35, when they came to David to have David eat some food, David wasn't eating, he was so upset. David swore, saying, so do God to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun be down. I'm not going to eat a thing. I'm not going to eat. How can I eat when this has happened to Abner, my friend? Abner? Yes, David saw the depth of Abner's character. He understood that Abner was a good man. I will not eat bread, not till the sun sets. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them. They were pleased. They said, this is good. David isn't rejoicing that the guy that fought against him is now dead. But David is a man of compassion. And David is a man of forgiveness. And David is a man of grace and mercy and giving people a second opportunity. And the people said, that's the kind of guy that we need, unlike Saul. This is the kind of guy that we can look to and follow after, a man of mercy. It pleased the people. And verse 30, whatever the king did pleased the people. They were pleased now. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner. That wasn't David's heart. And the king said to his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? Don't you understand? He's a prince of a guy, and he's a great man. And I am this day weak, David says, verse 39, though anointed king. I'm weak. I'm broken. I'm saddened. I'm anguished about this. Though I'm king, I'm weak. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, which means Joab and his brother Abishai, these guys are too hard for me. They're just a pain for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Joab and his brother, they're just too hard for me to handle. God will deal with them. Well, Saul's son, heard, Ishbosheth heard that Abner was dead in Hebron. His hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. Oh no, Abner's dead. He's the guy that held the reins of power. He's the guy that was propping up Ishbosheth previously. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands, army. One was Baana, and the other was Rechab. And Jonathan, verse 4, Saul's son, had a son that was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, that Saul and Jonathan had died. So his nurse scooped him up, this son of Jonathan, this grandson of Saul, scooped him up and ran. Why? Because when Saul was dead, this would mean that there would be a new king. And the customs were of that day, of that region, when a new king ascended to power, you killed everybody in the old king's family if there was going to be a change of dynasty, a change of families. So this nurse, hearing that Saul's dead and Jonathan's dead, this nurse, this nanny, grabbed Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson, and runs to try and protect him or hide him from what she feared would come his way. But it came to pass, verse 4 goes on to say, that as she made haste to flee, that he fell and he became lame. He was crippled. And his name was Mephibosheth. And we'll talk about him in another study. But he is dropped and he becomes lame. He becomes crippled. Well, back to our story. Rechab and Baana, verse 5, these two captains at this time, they came at about the heat of the day, noon hour, to Ishbosheth, who was in his bed at noon, sleeping in at noontime. And they came in the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat. That is, they were pretending to be delivery men. It's the old delivery man trick, see? So here's Ishbosheth sleeping away. And these two captains come in like they're going to do some delivery, you see. They're going to take some wheat and all the rest. And here he is snoozing away in bed, and they smote him under the fifth rib. They killed him while he was in bed. Don't sleep in. For when they came into the house, he was laying on his bed in his bedchamber. They smote him, slew him, and beheaded him. And they took his head and got away through the plain all night. They grabbed Ishbosheth's head, this son of Saul, this king of Israel, they grabbed his head and they brought the head, verse 8, to David, who was at Hebron. Now, the reason they do this, as we shall see, is these two captains say, hey, Ishbosheth, his days are numbered anyway. David's gaining power. David's going to be king, obviously. We want good jobs. We're looking out for our careers. See, they were kind of, you know, you hear about headhunters today, you know, people that find jobs. Well, these were the original headhunters. They thought, this is how we're going to do this. We'll lop off this guy's head. We'll take it to David. And he'll say, oh, hey, good job, man. You can be captains or generals or what have you in my army. You can have places of prominence in my kingdom, you see. So they bring David this head, you know, of Ishbosheth. They brought, verse 8, the head to David and said, behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life. He was after you, David. And the Lord hath avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul and of his son. You see, David answered these guys, Rechab and Baana, his brother, as the Lord lives, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity. When one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought me good news, I took hold of him and slew him, who thought that I would have given him a reward for this news. Man, the guy that came to me and said, I killed Saul on Mount Gilboa. Remember the story? I killed him. Don't you know about that? Didn't you hear about that? That guy that thought he was bringing me good news, Saul's dead. I ran him through. I did him in. How much more, verse 11, When wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house, upon his own bed, shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? And David commanded, verse 12, his young men, and they slew these two and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. Kind of curtailed swimming activities for the day. Kind of put a damper on those that were sunbathing and, you know, doing laps or whatever. I mean, all of a sudden, there's these two guys without hands and feet being hung there. Boy. But they took the head of Ishbosheth, man, and they buried it in a sepulcher, in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. So they took his head and they went ahead and buried that with Abner. Then, notice the word then, came all the tribes of Israel to David to Hebron, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. In time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one that led us out and brought in Israel. You led us. David, even when Saul was king over us, you were the real leader among us. We knew that. And the Lord, verse 2, the people go on to say, the Lord said to you, you shall feed my people and you shall be a captain over Israel. We know what the Lord said to you. You're going to be our feeder and you're going to be our leader. That's the promise that God gave to you, that you are going to be the one that feeds us and you are going to be the one that leads us. And David, we've seen that. Even when Saul was king, we saw the anointing on your life. So, verse 3, all the elders of Israel came to the king David to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over all Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in totality. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. He reigned over all of Israel for 33 more years after that. So for 40 years, he reigned as king. Now, I want to call your attention to a very important thing. And we'll finish with this tonight. But I hope you'll tune in and listen very carefully. I want you to see something here. If you miss this, I think you'll miss a real key of spiritual life, of service, of ministry. This whole story is brutal and bloody. Heads roll, blood flows, power is shifting, there's negotiations going on and devious deeds done and all the rest. And David himself is going through an interesting process in his own life. See, he knows that he has been called to be king. And now at last, it's happened. It says, all of Israel, the last phrase of verse 3 of chapter 5, all of Israel came, the elders from all the tribes came at this time and anointed him to be king.
John does have something important to share with us about this story, but we are going to have to wait until our next program. Please join with us again then as we see how this story can have practical application in our lives.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Most of us desire to spend more time in prayer, just talking with the Lord and hearing from Him. But we often struggle in this area of prayer. In order to help us have a more consistent and effective prayer life, Pastor John has a book called Praying Through the Tabernacle. This book shows us a model of prayer that is based on the Old Testament tabernacle. This is a very practical tool for everyone who desires an intimate walk with the Lord. You may order Praying Through the Tabernacle from the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.